This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Music Hall starring Al Jolson.
So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April showers come along.
Now, before I got to the hall tonight, I stopped off at Ching Hao's restaurant to soak up a little chop suey and atmosphere. Just enough to give me a good reason to sing Chinatown. Okay, Lum Fung Bring, let's have it. Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low, hearts that know no other land, drifting to and fro. Dreamy, dreamy are your Chinatown. Almond eyes so brown. Heart seems light and life seems bright in dreamy Chinatown. Hearts that know no other land, drifting to and fro. Dreamy, dreamy, oh, Chinatown. Almond eyes so brown. Heart seems light and life seems bright in dreamy Chinatown. A
moment ago, I saw you looking a little card there. Is that all you have left? My horse that didn't come in at Santa Anita?
Ken, believe it or not, I didn't go to Santa Anita.
Huh?
No. Horses are too smart. Now, look, Ken.
Yeah.
Six horses run around the track, and 50,000 people show up. But let six people run around the track and see how many horses show up.
What you mean? But Al, why do you keep glancing at that card? What's so interesting about it?
Well, Ken, it's a card I got when I weighed myself this morning.
Oh, I see.
On the back of it, it says, I'm charming, sweet, kind, generous, intelligent, and lovable. Isn't it amazing how accurate those little things are?
Yeah, but how much does it say you weigh? How much does it say you weigh?
35 pounds. It can be right all the time, you know.
But Al, that's not your weight. The scale must be broken.
That's why I use it.
Well, what's the advantage of using a broken scale?
You always get your penny back.
Say, Al, you must be referring to the scale in Schwab's drugstore.
Yes, Oscar, I am. I like that particular scale because the fortune on the back of the card has never been wrong.
Ah, those fortunes are ridiculous, Al.
No, they aren't. A couple of years ago, I weighed myself and the card said, beware of imposters. The same day, I met Larry Parks. And yesterday came the clincher. The card said, people are trying to get money out of you.
What happened?
2 minutes later, Jack Benny invited me to lunch.
Now that you mention it, Al, I weighed myself the other day, and the card I got said I was going to make 3 pictures and 6 record albums.
Yeah?
And it said I was going to play 30 concerts, appear at Carnegie Hall, do a radio show.
Oscar, that's silly. How could all that be written on one card?
I was real fat that day.
Well, I hope you're not too fat for the piano bench. Because right now, I'd like you to sit down and play the Greek concerto.
Thank you.
thing. All of us go through life struggling and fighting to get ahead, always striving for the success that someday will mean peace and contentment. And in doing so, we sometimes overlook the treasures we have right in our own home. I don't care how far I've gone or how far I go, but the greatest pleasure, the greatest reward I can have is when I pick up my little baby son and hold him in my arms. To me, that's the nearest thing to heaven.
Nearest thing to heaven is that rippling, sunny smile. And nearest thing to heaven is to hold him for a while and feel those tiny little hands pulling at my tie. How he laughs when he rumples my hair and pokes his little finger in my eye. Nearest thing to heaven are those rosy apple cheeks. I've learned to understand him every time he speaks. I'm just like his mommy. He's everything divine. Nearest thing to heaven is that little guy.
Nearest thing to heaven are those rosy apple cheeks. And you know something? I've learned to understand. Yes, sir. Every time he speaks.
And just like his mommy, he's everything divine. Nearest thing to heaven is that little guy of mine.
Let's see, spring. Here's one. Sing this, Al.
I'm dreaming
of white Christmas.
Try this one, Al.
Is the last rose of summer.
And wait a minute. Oscar, what's that got to do with spring?
It has a connection. That last rose of summer was planted in the spring.
Oscar, I'm trying to be nice. I asked you to play a song about spring, and what do you do? You give me a Christmas song, a summer song, but no spring song.
Wait, Al, here's a great one for you. That's Mendelssohn's Spring Song.
Mendelssohn's Spring Song doesn't have any words. I can't sing it. Give me a song about spring. Oscar, wait. Maybe this will help. What do you think of in the spring?
Fertilizer.
Look, Oscar, in the springtime, a man thinks of romance. It's a time of the year when a young man's fancy turns to love.
I've been thinking of that, Al. What does a young man do with his fancy the rest of the year?
Oscar, I'm afraid you're not aesthetic enough for me. Lou Bring and his petrillo petunias will help me out. Lou, plenty of pretty girls like a melody, a perfect song for spring.
A pretty girl is like a melody that haunts you night and day. Just like the strain of a haunting refrain, she'll start upon a marathon and run around your brain. Now you can't escape. She's in your memory by morning, night, and noon. She will leave you and then come back again. A pretty girl is just like a pretty tune.
Ladies and gentlemen, I expected to have Miss Betty Grable as our guest tonight, but she couldn't make it. So I got the next prettier pair of legs, or rather prettiest pair of legs, I should have said, from 20th Century Fox. And they belong to George Jessel.
Well, Al, you look wonderful. I've never seen such a complexion on a man in my life. If I didn't know it was you, I'd swear it was Pocahontas, honestly. It is so good to see you, Al, really.
It's good to see you too, Georgie. You've been back east, haven't you?
Yes, Al. I've been back in Washington to see President Truman.
I read about that he appointed you Toastmaster General.
Well, I don't get any money for that, Al, you know. That's just an honorary job.
Well, you've got a job at 20th Century Fox. You get paid there, don't you?
After I pay my taxes, this is also an honorary job.
Well, Georgie, everybody knows you're friendly with the president. Now, what do you two say to each other when you're together?
Well, Al, I say, Al, I come in, I say, well, hello. He says, hello, Georgie. I say, how do you feel, Mr. President?
Then what?
And well, that's all. He's a busy man.
Well, maybe I'll make a trip. That's my home, you know. I haven't been back there in a long time.
Oh, Al, you wouldn't recognize Washington.
Really?
Since you left. Oh, they built the White House, you know.
Georgie, you're certainly going to be famous. You mixed with the president, Washington, and out here in Hollywood, you just had your footprints put in cement at Gorman Chinese Theater. That's
right, Al. And my big toe is still wet. You feel it? Well, I don't imagine anything like that would impress you, Al, because your footprints are right there, right next to Clark Gable.
My footprints are next to Gable, but only during the day. At night when it's cold, they get up, walk over, and play footsie with Rita Hayworth.
I want you to know it was a great honor for me to place my footprints alongside of those belonging to all the famous names of the amusement business. You see, Al, I have loved being an actor all my life. My career began when I was very small. You know, when I was 5 years old, I leaned strongly toward the stage.
Then what happened?
I kept falling out of the balcony. And finally, Al, my mother put a string on me, and I was the first yo-yo to play low stakes.
Well, I guess I had to struggle more than you for my career, Georgie. I remember once I played a broken-down vaudeville house in Brooklyn, and I saw Florence Ziegfeld standing in the wings. When I came off, Ziegfeld said to me, I think it's a shame for you to bury a talent like yours here in Brooklyn. I said, you do, Mr. Ziegfeld? He said, yes. Why don't you go to Hoboken and bury it?
I can't believe that. I love the theater, Al. The theater has always been in my blood. The scenery, the grease paint, and the footlights, too, they're all in my blood.
Now I know why you're getting a little lumpy.
Al, this is not a moment of jest, and I realize tonight what a fool I was to give up the theater, the precarious life of a motion picture producer. Oh, Al, how I recall those tender young years as a starving entertainer. There I was, pacing up and down my room night after night, never lying down for a moment's rest.
Nervousness, huh?
Mm-mm, no bed. And then, Al, there was no turning back for me then. After all,
Columbus didn't turn back on his voyage. Magellan didn't turn back. Balboa didn't turn back. And Sosnick didn't turn back.
Who was Sosnick?
An uncle of mine who was leaving his wife. Max Sosnick.
Well, Georgie, you came up fast. I made mistakes. I remember my first contract. I was trying to be shrewd, so I read every word of it.
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with thoroughly reading a contract.
Yes, there was. Before I was half through reading it, it expired on me.
Well, I never worried about contracts. When I started, I began as a mimic, you know. I did imitation.
Yeah.
For example, Rick and I, this fella.
Yeah, go ahead.
When my baby smiles at me, ha-ha, my thoughts go roaming to paradise. Yes, sir. Who is that, Al?
Mel Torme.
Now, I'm sure that you're jealous.
Why should I be jealous? We're not competing with each other.
Well, in a way we are, Al. I'm a producer of 20th Century Fox, making pictures about old times. And you're at Columbia Studio, making pictures about old you.
I'll admit one thing, Georgie. I'm jealous of your working conditions. All day long, you can look at June Haver in tights. But what have I got? Oscar Levant in baggy pants.
Well, look at this. George Jessel and Al Jolson. Together, these two men have produced enough movies to sell 30 million bags of popcorn.
Now, look, Mr. Levant, I don't mind you insulting me, but you should never utter one disparaging word about Mr. Al Jolson. Can you think of a greater name in show business?
No. Can you, Al?
I don't even try.
You know something, when you stop to think about it, where's the young talent going to come from? What's going to happen when Jolson retires?
He'll take 5 years off and come back again. How do you do it, too?
Because, like the title of Urban Berlin's song, well, just let me sing, and I'll be happy.
What care I who makes the laws of a nation? That those who will take care of its rights and wrongs. What care I who cares for the world's affairs? As long as I can sing its popular song. Let me sing a funny song. With crazy words that roll along. And if my song can start you laughing, I'm happy. I'm happy. Let me sing a sad refrain of broken hearts that love in vain. And if my song can start you crying, I'm happy. Let me croon a low-down blues to lift you out of your seat. If my song can reach your shoes and start you tapping your feet, I'm happy. Let me sing of Dixie's charm, of cotton fields and Mammy's arms. If my song in your homesick, I'm happy.
Let me sing of Dixie's charm, of cotton fields and the mammy's arms. If my song can make your homesick, I'm happy.
Al, when Jessel was talking about being a mimic in the old days, I was thinking, that was about the time you were doing pretty well with Lou Dock's Status Minstrels.
That's right, Oscar. Georgie, I'll tell you what. Let's you and I be end men, Mr. Skin and Mr. Bone. And Oscar, you be the interlocutor, okay? Here we go.
Gentlemen, be seated. Mr. Asa Skin, I heard you were at a banquet the other night. Was the food good?
The food was delicious, Mr. DeLagada, but the service was terrible.
You mean they were slow in serving it?
Slow? I ordered a half a roast chicken, and I waited and waited and waited. So finally I called the waitress over and I said, honey, how long? I like that so much, I'm going to do it again. Finally, I called the waitress over and I said, honey, how long am I going to wait for that roast chicken?
What did she say?
Well, she said for somebody order the other half. We ain't going to kill a half a chicken for nobody.
And now, Mr. George Bones, I heard you got married recently.
Yeah, but honey, let me tell you something. When I got married, I got one woman who was going to stay with me for life.
It's wonderful to have a wife like that.
Wife? Nothing. I'm talking about my mother-in-law.
I went to the races the other day, doo-dah, doo-dah. I lost my gal, I'm an ex-week's pay, doo-dah, doo-dah day. Don't mind I lost my pay, but hated to lose my girl. And I got mad when I found out she was stolen by Milton Berle.
Oh, he steals everything.
Take anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They want me on the picture screen, doo-dah, doo-dah, to play a lover in a scene, doo-dah, doo-dah, day. I gladly take the job in a love scene hot with sparks. I'll play a lover on the screen without any Larry Park. I don't need it.
Oh, you don't need nothing. Walk out on any
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. Walk out on Skelton, too.
Some folks say, how old is Al? Doo-dah, doo-dah. They say Abe Lincoln was my pal. Doo-dah, doo-dah, day. Don't guess or you'll be wrong. Just listen to Jolton's song.
But if Benny's only 39, we all should live so long.
We all should live so long.
Folks, I know you've all heard of Vincent Yeomans. He was a swell guy who wrote wonderful songs. He loved life and realized the part that music played in making it livable. Here is one of his best, Without a Song.
Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, the road would never bend. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, that field of corn would never see a plow. That field of corn would be deserted now. A man is born, but he ain't no good no how. Without a song, I've got my trouble and woe, but sure as I know, the Jordan will roar. I'll get along as long as a song is strong in my soul. I'll never know what makes you rain to fall. I'll never know what makes you grass so tall. I only know there ain't no love at all without a song.
Good night, everybody.
is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.